ascension of the Lord as a moment of completion to the Lord's earthly mission. He's returning to the realm of his heavenly Father, from which he never departed in terms of his divinity, but as our brother, as our Redeemer, he's completed his work in the world, his mission, of which all of us share in some way because of him, but he has done so in the superb way that models and empowers all of us for the rest of our lives. So it's an exuberant feast. God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, is one phrase that comes with some of the music. It's, you know, when they build a skyscraper in New York, they're up, how many stories, 80 stories, and the workers will put a Christmas tree on the top because it's topped out. The engineers have done their design and the work is complete and it's up high and there's just something glorious about it. I think of those skyscrapers that are not there anymore, the Trade Center in New York. There's a recent film, well, the film isn't recent, but it touches on a high wire walker who stretched a cable between the two towers, the Frenchman, and he walks across up there, 110 stories. So, I mean, it wouldn't have been any more difficult if he went only a foot off the ground, but there's something glorious, something about being on high. The Lord is lifted up, and that's meant to touch our lives with a sense of fullness, the glory of the blossoming flowers and trees, the blossom of life. He is the new Adam of our human nature, no longer broken. He is the head of the mystical body, us. He is the Son of Mary, God made flesh. So our human nature is embedded in God. Oftentimes we think of God sanctifying human nature, but the very essence of what we are is a part of our understanding of the Trinity. At the right hand of his heavenly Father is our Savior. So we proclaim Gloria in Excelsis Deo, in the Gloria, which we did so well. When I was much younger, at a dedication of the central tower of the National Cathedral on Wisconsin Avenue in Washington, an Episcopal Gothic cathedral, magnificent place. They topped out the cathedral tower, central one, higher than the early front spires. It's called the Gloria in Excelsis Deo Tower, Excelsis, the highest. Of course, how do you celebrate in liturgy in the 60s, something big? Balloons, lots of balloons. So the circle of grace is complete with the ascension. St. Paul does the hymn about the Lord did not cling to his divinity, but out of generosity and love became human, life with all its dimensions, even death on the cross, that he might rise and return to the Father. So the circle is complete, as you heard in one of those readings, by the self-giving of God to us. We are the beneficiaries of his total love. We are the beneficiaries of salvation. The currency of life for us is generosity. The coin of salvation is the same thing as the self-emptying that we try to live in our lives, and we symbolize at the Eucharist, bringing gifts to symbolize our attempts to live in the energy of Christ, which has brought us redemption. So our nature is divine, and we are forever embedded in the presence of God the Father. So we are not spoiled by any sin in the world, severely damaged and deeply tragic for sure. But every one of us, in reference to ourselves and to others around us, is precious in the eyes of God. I recently heard an interview with Father Greg Boyle, a Jesuit that runs a large enterprise. Los Angeles, and it's been very successful. But his point is that sometimes with our moral theology, we keep judging people. The important thing is that every person is an integral mystery that reflects God, has potential. Nothing new, but to live it is really difficult. That every institution that we have will not be successful, hospital, jail, school, unless every kid, every person is attended to as the presence of a disciple of Christ, a potential disciple of Christ at least. So the work goes on. Jesus has been taken from our sight, but the messengers come and say, why are you standing there looking up in the sky? A great praise, obviously come from heaven to remind us we're to be energetic about living the mandate of Christ to baptize all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the visible presence of Christ now is passed to the church. Christ is visibly present in each other, in the Word of God, the sacrament that we so deeply hold as precious in the Eucharist. In those ways and many more, Christ lives. He empowers us, so he no longer is to a particular space or place. Jeremy will bring back the pilgrims from the Holy Land, and they will be influenced by the history they've observed, the precious places Lord Jesus walked. But they have no advantage over any of us in faith. Jesus Christ is among us by virtue of his continued grace and sharing with us the success of his incarnation. His life has accomplished for us our destiny. We, day by day, ask the Lord's help in pursuing that future.